Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 264, Skull King Island.
Skull King.
Nailed it.
Skull
just
King.
Nailed it, dude.
The Skull King.
That's what I do.
I would see a movie called The Skull King. The Skulking Skull King?
Yeah, it was like Skull King?
It's just some goth movie.
What did they call this? Skull Crawler Island.
Which, best line of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, well, that was best everything of the movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was great.
Could you imagine it without that character?
No.
But anyway.
No, I couldn't.
I did want to say that we're getting pretty close to episode 300. Do you think that we could lavish the joint up?
I think we'll probably have a new table next week.
Okay.
Oh.
So will it be lavish?
I don't know.
I mean, the place is lush, but
it'll match the chairs.
Okay. That's pretty lavish.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, something big for 300. It could be lush and lavish. There's no saying they're not mutually exclusive.
Because it's episode 300, we'll bring on Zack Snyder.
Oh man.
I heard he's working at the Cracker Barrel now.
Yeah. He knows we just like to have fun with it.
You guys really like step up your game from like me being the guest to Zack Snyder. I mean, right, that's like a huge jump. That's a huge jump there.
Is it?
Do you think it is?
Not in this room.
I would actually go the opposite of that.
Yeah. Lately. We didn't know if he'd be able to follow your episode. That's why we're waiting to 300.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I guess before we get too sidetracked, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
Hi, this is Michael Hafner.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. Blah, blah, blah.
Quick, do we have a review or do we have to do Rock Dog?
Oh, we're doing Rock Dog.
Haven't gotten a review in the last 10 minutes.
If we do Rock Dog, can we do it as set on Skull Island? Starring, instead of a rock dog, a giant ape.
Skull Dog.
Skull dog.
Okay, good.
Apocalypse Kong. Or Apocalypse Dog.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
That's true.
So with that behind us, we will let Joe get to synopsisize.
I will say, King Kong was one of the first flicks that I ever saw. Like, I remember sitting, you know, in my parents' living room, and we had it on VHS, and I was enthralled with the whole idea of the monster and all that other stuff. And that's, you know, that turned into like Godzilla and Gamera and Rodan and all that, everything.
What, King Kong turned into Godzilla?
Did you not see that one?
Did he transition?
Yeah, that's a transition.
This is 2017, Tom.
Yeah, you don't, no judge.
You don't
no
have judge. To be a Kong.
I have not
you
seen can these versions.
Right. We're in a post-Caitlin society.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so,
can be a Godzilla.
He's a giant ape, but he identifies
as a giant lizard.
Correct. Gotcha.
That's correct.
Yeah. I see.
But I heard he's transitioning into a Mothra.
I can't even imagine where he goes to the bathroom.
It's a mess.
It is. It's a mess.
He's 125 feet tall, Joe.
He's also still growing, as we found out. So, you know, what's going to happen in his adulthood, we don't know.
It's going to be even more of a mess.
Can I ask, before we get into this movie, a very popular, maybe highest grossing movie of all time sort of thing, Shin Godzilla? Or like they won their
Shin
version of an Academy Award?
It's a cool flick.
What is the story with that?
I don't know.
Haven't I mean, it's have you seen it?
I don't think it's available
in
the U.S. yet.
No, I haven't
seen it. I think it's pretty new.
They played it at the Tivoli for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. But it like won their equivalent of an Academy Award. Like,
oh, wow.
It won a huge award. Apparently, the movie is just brilliant. I wonder if we're going to get a release here soon, like on video.
We probably will. Yeah, I have to.
Yeah, it'll come out on DVD and Blu-ray. Yeah. It did pretty well on limited release in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, again, nothing but good
things. I know it's a different look for Godzilla than... They're like the Toho's original look.
So he's transitioning
he
as well.
He is also transitioning.
Isn't he sort of like gray with like a lava sort of
That's what it looks like, yeah. Like the poster definitely looks that way. Yeah. I don't know, you know.
So, okay, I was hoping one of you guys...
a smoking jacket.
Yeah.
A monocle.
Yes.
He's a lounge singer.
More of a sophisticated...
sophisticated Godzilla. Yes. Yeah, and then there was the...
Does Shen mean... What does that mean in Japanese?
I have no idea.
Sophisticated.
That's
was it Faye Dunaway? Was Faye Dunaway in the
Faye
American...
Ray.
Faye Ray.
No. In the American remake?
No.
Jessica Lange.
Lange.
Yeah.
And then there was the Peter Jackson version.
Right.
And the Jessica Lange version's not good.
Jessica Lange, that was her film debut.
It was good at the time.
It says introducing Jessica Lange.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges and Charles Grodin.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, back then, man, you take it.
You take what you can get.
And I saw it, and I was like,
that's a movie.
Yeah.
And then there was the Peter Jackson remake that, not so good.
Technically.
Yeah, visually.
I have not seen the longer version where they are spend more time.
Version.
But
they spend more time ice skating?
No. They spend more time on Skull Island.
Yeah.
And there's more creatures. Have you seen this?
The extended cut? No, yeah. I saw the theatrical version, and I don't think it's that bad.
I honestly don't think it's that bad.
I don't think it is so boring.
But they added it, like he...
I will say this
he
one.
He did an extended version.
Not boring.
And they added in a whole bunch of stuff on Skull Island with creatures. So I was like, well, so... You know.
I think the problem with the Peter Jackson version is that... So King Kong starts off... as a B movie,
sure,
but it's such a good B movie, that it and that it
makes that leap,
it elevates, it exceeds its genre, and then when Peter Jackson gets a hold of it, he decides I'm gonna make the arty version of King Kong,
true,
and ultimately
and like a $200 million.
You don't
whatever.
Want an arty version.
No,
of King Kong.
This is I will say this is the version of King Kong that I would want.
Yeah, like I thought
there's no plot to this movie whatsoever.
No,
there's nothing. I think there's probably 50 pages of dialogue.
But what do you
combined.
Expect? And I'm not saying you're arguing. My point is for the critics. What do you expect? It is a giant gorilla,
right?
Punching dinosaurs.
When the opening credits of this movie, I'm pretty sure I saw a kitchen sink flying by.
All
right.
I will say, like, you can't replicate that. Like that original one, you cannot. Yeah. You can't duplicate that.
No,
they tried to in the 76 version. And it's
yes,
boring.
They did.
It is.
Like,
it's super
it's like
boring.
30 minutes before they even get to the island.
Yeah. Right.
It's just.
But like my elevator pitch for this movie for people that are asking about it. I'm like, it is a 125-foot gorilla punching dinosaurs in the face. If that sounds exciting to you, go see it.
And stomping on people.
But like, right. So when people are hypercritical of the script and the character, I'm like. Dude, this is a summer movie in March. This is a popcorn blockbuster.
Yep.
I'll say flat out, this is the best Kong movie since the first one.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
I would probably agree.
Artistically, technically
it's
made.
It's fun.
It is fun.
It's the ultimate drive-in movie.
Yeah.
Wish this was at the drive-in.
I don't know. I think I prefer Peter Jackson's over this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I think this is the first one that really captured the spirit of the original, which was it was a down and dirty B movie.
Yep.
Yes.
And they did.
And there's
that.
Actually there's even homages to the original one where you don't remember that, like, he steps on people. Like, he is squishing.
They had to cut scenes from the TV version.
Correct.
Yes.
There's one of, like, a villager, like, in his mouth. They had to cut that scene, the stopping of, like, a villager underneath his
foot. You see, like, his feet or whatever up on, like, you know, the...
Yeah.
It was almost cartoonish where he squishes them.
Yeah.
And in this one, they do the same stuff. Like, it's all, you know, there's a little homage even to Brie Larson, where she kind of has an interaction with Kong that's kind of reminiscent Like, luckily they don't do it where he's just
kind of on the hill, that moment they have.
They
do that, exactly.
And I was just like, oh man, please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't.
No.
Like, don't give me the love story between the woman and the ape.
Well, before we get into the plot, though, so, you know, I mentioned on the last episode, Larry Fong, who has been Zack Snyder's cinematographer for over 10 years on all his films, he left Batman v Superman to do this movie, which
is amazing what he can do with a color palette, isn't it?
But you know what? But, like, so this movie movie is set primarily in the 70s, and so this movie doesn't look slick and polished. It has a really gritty feel. The tone is awesome for it, and I like how they did a lot of the shots that, like, and probably more the director's decision, but going from like old news footage transitioning into modern time. But it's a Vietnam era film, and so the look of it, the photography that Larry Fong does, I think was beautiful. I mean,
there's so many incredible films that they are cribbing from.
Apocalypse Now.
I mean, Michael Cimino, you've got Francis Ford Coppola, and the soundtrack. I was like,
I thought the soundtrack. So, do you remember we talked about many, many episodes ago? We talked about how the soundtrack for Watchmen,
yes,
probably cost more than the making of that movie itself. I felt the same thing about this one. I was like, how did you get away with using these songs? It's a lot of like very well-known songs and like probably not cheap songs.
Right.
As soon as they started playing all these songs on their radios when they get to Skull Island, I mean, even before, but like they get there, there's song after song. But I thought, I had a note, the music was awesome in this movie. It set the tone so well. I love it. I don't know how they got it, but it's great.
Well, I mean, you were talking about the art direction. I mean, I think visually, I mean, there's a consistency. I think it's got a strong visual sense, but I think it's actually kind of tone deaf, to be honest. Like, for me, it tries to juggle a film that has a message but also be a summer blockbuster. It wants to be sort of dark and gritty at times, but then you also have like these silly sort of moments like that just don't work. Like, she's trying to lift up a helicopter of a buffalo creature. This is ridiculous.
But I think that was,
you know,
like,
hold on,
that's
I
not
think
the,
I can, I mean, it, you know,
it's kind of tone deaf.
Captain Marvel.
It's propped such a way that maybe you could lift up a helicopter.
But no, that's, I mean, but that's not the art direction, though. That's not the,
yeah,
I mean,
no, I
not
think
that's a stupid story decision.
Visually,
yeah.
I think it's consistent all the way through. I just think the tone of the film, I don't think the director did a good job of either transitioning the tone at times. Like, you know, whether like the soldiers are jokingly, you know, talking about their moms and stuff, and it's just like it feels silly at times, but
I
then it also wants
to
be sort of dark and gritty.
I think that's the popcorn fun, like the humor to it. But Joe, why don't we start at the beginning?
Yeah, so our opening sequence, we see John Goodman, and then we see
doesn't it start in the air in airplanes?
Well, we see
John C. Reilly, young John C. Reilly.
We also see different dates and times on the screen.
Yes, we're running through different dates and times.
So this is World War II. Oh, right. But like the first scene is World War II.
Yeah. Which was, I don't remember.
They're basically like, you know, at this point what we've got is they're kind of pointing back to, you know, they're establishing the groundwork for something later on.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, look, there's some bombings.
And there's some
stuff. There's some stuff that happens in the South Pacific.
Yeah. I really liked the opening credits. Whoever did the opening credits, like going through all the news articles.
I guess it would have to be Larry Fong, right?
Well, no, sometimes they use
companies to do whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Imaginary Forces.
Larry
is a big
Fong
one.
Did all the photography for the Watchmen credits, and those are my favorite opening credits of all time.
Credits.
The news reels and the flashes of the cameras. I don't know if there's a more beautiful opening credits than
it's an expensive song, too.
It starts off with the dogfight, and so there's a young John C. Reilly character with great casting. Once I looked at him for a minute and he was more of a stationary, I'm like, that guy looks like a young John C. Reilly.
Are you sure it wasn't John C. Reilly that they de-aged?
I think that was another actor, but I'm like, that was great casting. But he's in the dogfight with a Japanese pilot.
Right.
And they both crash land on the island and they have like a standoff. Like, they're just on this island and they both have guns and they miss each other. And the other guy pulls out a sword because I guess the Japanese pilots have swords.
Why not?
Okay,
which I always thought was weird. I guess one of the things I always thought is like, I guess if the Japanese pilots were chained to their.
The kamikazes.
But
not all pilots were kamikazes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we don't know if he was kamikaze.
Obviously not.
I'm guessing not.
Out.
Yeah.
He survived.
But he's chasing him through the jungle with a sword. You know, I thought that was kind of funny.
Right.
You know? There were moments like that where it's a serious movie and it looks serious.
I wouldn't even call it serious. Like, it's just like a straight up.
No, I mean, it's not a zany comedy. What I mean is that it's filmed well. You know, they take it seriously. But there are a lot of moments like that that are like, he's not yelling out goofy, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly type lines or anything. But it's funny to see a guy being chased with a sword.
He's delivering like the John C. Reilly, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, he's doing the John
language.
C. Reilly thing, but he's not, you know,
hamming it up with the line.
Put your nuts on my snare drum.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He's not doing lines like that.
But just the imagery of a Japanese soldier with a katana chasing someone into the forest. Like, it's funny, but without being a joke, you know. And so they eventually have this standoff. They're fighting that grabbing the sword with your hands thing.
That's tough.
Made me.
We saw Logan do it with his own claw.
Right. You know? Well, but still, I mean, at least he can kind of heal or is supposed to be able to. But when John C. Reilly grabs, I mean, first of all, I don't know how the sword didn't cut through his hand.
It's a dull sword.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like a butter knife sword.
But yeah, the young John C. Reilly grabs it with both his hands to like block the sword, and it just cuts him. And yeah, it was terrible. But they eventually get on the ground. And they're fighting, and the guy's about to stab him through the chest with a knife, I think. And then all of a sudden, we see what looks to be, I mean, the same size as it is later. He's huge. He comes up the side of a mountain. His head is you know bigger than both of them combined. And they basically, I guess, decide to quit their.
We're gonna call it a day.
They called off their quarrel. And
nothing unites like a common enemy.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's
so,
right.
And that's kind of where we leave.
Yeah.
And flash forward to
1970
to the 70s. Yeah.
So we've got
three.
So John Goodman's kind of pleading his case to, I guess he's a senator. I don't really say what he is. That there is John Goodman,
nondescript government.
Yes.
I took it as he was a senator,
something like that. Yeah. So he's been adamant almost his entire adult life that there is this island out there and we have to get to it. If we get to it, it's who knows what's on it, the untapped potential of this island.
He believes in monsters, basically.
Well, we don't know that yet. We find that out later, but initially he's saying that there's untapped, who knows what kind of natural resources this thing has. We could get there first. The Russians are going to launch in 3 days. Imagine if they get there first, what they could find.
And I like the imagery. He's showing him like archival photos of like a ship that has huge claw marks through it.
Right.
Yeah. I really like the tone, how they set the photos and the flashbacks. They didn't look like fake Hollywood, you know, oh, we just printed this off the laser jet.
The issues that I take with this movie is it feels like it was just an hour and a half long setup to get us to King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that's the
it is.
Right. And I'm saying that as a drawback, and it's barely a drawback.
The thing is, I enjoyed it from beginning to end, and that may be their end game, but
this movie I was like, let's talk more monster.
Where's the rest of the monsters? Nobody cares about your dilemmas.
Don't monologue. Monologues are cheaper. I got to kill some time.
That's true, yeah.
So the senator finally approves, they
bring in the new guy from 24. Which actually isn't that bad. It's not a bad little show. The redo of 24.
Yeah, yeah.
The company is called Monarch. Is that
Monarch,
the secret division? That
Monarch is in Godzilla.
Godzilla from 2014.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the company that Bryan Cranston works for. Yeah.
So they're about to disband that thing, and the senator says, one last funding.
Right.
We'll let you go to the island.
They bring in the two scientists.
This is like the biggest plot hole of the movie. When has our government ever stopped funding somebody.
Right, like yeah. no well now
okay but, now besides healthcare.
Yeah, right. they get their team together, they flash to
go to the army, so
to Vietnam.
They're about to leave Vietnam.
They're going home, like everybody's going home, and it's Toby Kibler is back, or Kibble is back.
Worst part of this movie, he was horrible.
And that's, I don't know, like, why they cast, like, he's a good actor.
Yeah, he, I mean,
and then
in this movie
they get rid of him.
but they
dispatch him fairly quickly.
His character, his accent, everything, just they should have cut that character out and I would have been happy.
I think it's tough for a British dude to do a southern accent.
It was bad.
And it was like,
real
bad. What are you doing there,
buddy? Didn't work for me. And again, that didn't ruin the movie, but every time he was on screen, I'm like, you know, some big monster, please just destroy him and have his blood splatter everywhere.
Oh, you're in luck.
That's what I, oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what I said.
You in for a treat?
Okay, please go on.
I thought all of the soldiers and like the dialogue and the exchanges between them, it just felt so stagey, and it's like, look at us, we're soldiers, like look at us playing dress up.
I would agree with that.
It was definitely like, hey, I just watched Apocalypse Now, I think we know how to do this.
Yeah.
The only one that had like depth really was Samuel Jackson. It's like
he went from zero to crazy pretty quick though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my favorite was the older guy who was on Agents of not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Agent Carter.
Well, he was obviously the comic relief.
Like,
he was the he was great.
You know,
the salt and pepper looking guy.
He was a little more like
He was on
balance, but he was also off.
Yeah, he's
but
a
in
great
a good way.
Actor.
He was a soldier. I mean, yeah. like that's the thing is he had the mentality yeah. of a soldier. I mean, that's what
great,
he knew.
He has a great scene where he starts eating his MREs.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What are you doing?"
It was like I'm that hungry. Moment. I was like, yeah. I was like,
he's good.
He was on Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah,
he was brother on Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I thought that like he was the most like sort of nuanced and balanced.
Yeah,
where it didn't feel like, you know, we just literally just lifted a page out of another, you know, a war movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
I thought I was like, oh, like, you're.
I just
all
watched
die.
Apocalypse Now and Full Metal Jacket. We're
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
I got it. I got it.
I liked the kid with his mom and the funny. Like, I think that added levity to a serious situation. I mean, even though you, I mean, the movie isn't that yeah. dark and serious, but it is kind of. And there's going to be a lot of action and killing and stuff. So I think that that lightened the yeah. the tone a little bit. And,
spoilers: nobody makes it.
Wow.
Two people.
Hey, well, we'll get there.
Yeah. So yeah. So they Sam. They're gearing up. They're packing up. They're going back home. And then Sam Jackson. Who I did, like, he had that weird character shift where he was, like, I guess all he knew was the war.
Yeah, yeah, see, I didn't take it as a major shift at all because
no, that's he didn't want to go home.
You
yeah,
saw him from the get-go.
You saw him at the beginning yeah. not want to go home.
Not wanting yeah. the war to end.
It's like Jeremy Renner in Hurt Locker. He doesn't yeah. know anything yeah. else. Right. Like, this is his life.
Well, I feel like in the Hurt Locker, he's just addicted to the adrenaline. Like,
yeah,
when he
yeah.
goes home and he has to take his kids to the store. Like, that doesn't work for him.
Yeah,
like,
you got to figure somebody Samuel L. Jackson's age.
That's
what's
probably,
he got to live. I mean, he's
probably in yeah. World War II.
Yeah.
Probably rolled into Korea.
He's a career
now
soldier.
Yeah, what's
yeah,
he, what's
and
he
now
gonna
he's
do?
In Vietnam. Yeah.
And now it's
you
over.
Know.
So I think they built that up well.
Yeah.
That,
and even though it's unspoken, also, like, you know.
PTSD, probably.
Well, I was going to say there probably aren't as many career opportunities for a black 60-year-old man.
That's
in 1973.
Yeah, yeah.
What is he going to do in the private sector?
Yeah. That's true. That's a very good point.
So
yeah, so
they get the opportunity to go
escort. He gets a phone call as yeah. he's leaving the base, and he's like, he doesn't even hesitate. He was just like, yep, we're
Yippee!
In. Yep,
yeah.
let's go. And of course, all of his crew was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yes.
Justifiably so.
Yeah.
They're getting out of Vietnam.
I only had 1 week till retirement.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you know, that always ends well.
All of these guys had 1 week to retirement. So then they say, like, we need a tracker. So they go to Bangkok, I guess, is where they go, and they find find Loki.
Yeah.
Who, you know.
Well, first they found, you know, somebody to do some very dramatic Bangkok exotic lighting.
Correct.
Yes.
I'm like, bright neons and reds and, you know.
No.
Yeah.
This stylistically, movie steals from so much.
Yes.
And I give it a huge pass because, you know, I like giant monsters. So but I'm like, if at any moment I paused on a scene in this movie, I would find myself tearing it apart. So I was just like, just get to the monsters.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this lighting is just so over the top that at this point, you know, I realized, man, they are going to take everything they
yes.
can from everything.
Yes, they
to
are.
To get you through this movie.
Until we get to Monster Island.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Whatever.
But I mean,
yeah, everybody's sweaty
oh
in the
my
club.
God. It's just very, very, I was like, ooh. I mean,
Tom Hiddleston's dreamy as ever.
I mean, yeah. this was like.
They're playing Murray Head.
This is like an unintentional comic book movie.
Yeah,
I mean,
I can see that.
Like, these look like, I mean, the way it's lit, it's just.
What is he doing? Is he fighting? What is he doing in the club? I can't even remember.
Nothing.
What was.
Playing pool.
Yeah.
Pool. Then he fight, gets into a fight.
Pool.
Okay.
And then we see that he's lethal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And they're weird. Like, that's the guy we need. And it's like, okay.
Well, now my question was, did they go there to find him or did they see that? And then John Goodman's like, well, we need to talk to this guy because he says something like that. And I'm like, weren't they
like,
there
what?
For him?
Yeah.
Like,
I thought they were there for him.
I thought so too, but then they're surprised when they see him fighting. Like, that's the man we need to
but
talk
I think,
to.
They
were
I don't
there
think they
for
knew
him.
Who he was.
Yeah.
But then when they see him get into the fight, they're like, oh,
maybe they were just reaffirming, like, yeah, we're here for the right guy.
And then they, you know, but he has a British accent, so let's give him some sort of reason to have a British accent.
Yeah. Oh, he's British military.
There
Perfect.
You go.
Yeah,
well,
all right.
It works. I mean,
that's fine.
That he was left. I mean, he was the station there, and he didn't go home. I mean, that.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. And then we get
Vietnam
Brie Larson.
It's a fun place. Everybody,
yeah, everybody wants to
stay
in Bangkok.
Yeah.
Well,
then we get Brie Larson, who is an anti-war
photographer. Yeah.
Yep.
I guess is on the like, and they reference her pictures earlier.
Yeah.
Like they've got somebody throws down an issue of Time, and that's her picture.
Yeah. She's Vicky Vale.
She's Vicky Vale. Yeah.
Victor,
oh man,
Vicky
no,
Vail?
No,
what?
No, that's not that Vicky Vale.
Oh,
so we all kind of get to
Wiki
the
West, Wiki,
not even no. Man. Giant spider in the third
Say,
act.
John Peters has
yeah,
something
John,
to do with this.
John no. Peters special. I want to razzle a polar bear. But don't kill him. He'll pee all over our ass. So they all get to the ship. They're all taken off, and as they're, we meet, you know, everybody has their interaction. Sam Jackson has an interaction with Brie Larson where she's just like, you know, gives her a bunch of, gives her some guff, and she throws some guff right back at him.
Yeah.
She's a sassy one.
She's a sassy photographer.
Yeah.
I think that starts filming like in a couple months.
Sassy photographer.
Yeah.
The new Marvel film, Sassy Photographer.
Sassy Photographer.
Yeah. That's your R-rated Marvel movie.
That's exactly what that is. Yeah. Snapper car.
No, the R-rated one is Sassy Photographer.
Yeah, if you are. I see what you did there.
Stars
yeah.
Ursula Andress.
So they're going, and they as they're getting closer and closer to the island, they realize the island is encompassed with like 50 miles,
perpetual storm.
But like 50 miles.
I like that.
That was a good line. Like,
yeah,
but it's like 50 miles of the storm. So like they have to go 50 miles in,
and that's why no one's ever gotten to the island because you can't break through that. Yeah.
But of course,
they see the storm and they're like, "Well, yeah, obviously, it's much bigger than we think."
I do like the guys, the ship captains are like, "Absolutely not. There's no way."
The captains are not the scientist team.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, just like
who established themselves as food.
Yes,
you know, they're all jerks. We'll see them.
They're red shirts.
They are red shirts. Yeah. Everybody in this movie, except for Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston, are red shirts.
Yeah, you're basically like, well, this is just gonna watch
you. Just fodder.
Oddly enough, I feel like they are like the two characters that are like focused on the least.
They are.
Like,
you focus on Sam Jackson for the most part, aside from Tom Hiddleston,
like with a gas mask and a machete. That's like the only thing he's given. You know, in this film to do.
That
was great.
When they go first person,
it was great, but awful.
But that's what you expect in this. They get to that scene and he takes the mask off.
I was like, well, why'd you take the mask off?
Well, I don't get why. You just fought through the smoke and the smoke was next
still,
to the guy.
You're still
why
in
did
the
you,
smoke.
That was dumb. I thought the exact same thing.
You're dead.
But again, like, you can't criticize that because this is a movie about a 125-foot gorilla punching a dinosaur in the face.
I just think it's funny that like all of them have targets on their back except for obviously Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson.
Yeah.
And yet for some reason like they're the two that survive and like we know nothing about their characters or like we don't really, I don't know, they really have nothing to do.
But also like we're not going to see them. We're not going to see them again. Like, they're not going to be in the next one because it's going to be set
in... Because the Godzilla films take place in modern times.
Did you not watch the post-credit scenes?
Yeah, but I mean, like, if
but they're going to be like they would have to age like 40 years. Right. It's Godzilla 2014, which they're connecting
modern time.
Unless they do old
but
age makeup
do,
on
but,
Hiddleston,
but I also think they're going to spin off into these other things.
They
and
could.
Those are the adventures
that's
we're
possible.
Gonna get.
But yeah, I'm saying like
they might do the other ones leading.
Yeah,
up to
I don't know what because the next Godzilla is called King of the Monsters.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I don't know if that's going to be like a prequel. Or if it's going to be, who knows? And they could be in that one.
But I think
but
that
they can't
be in
Kong versus Godzilla.
But they'll be in the going to find. They basically, I mean, they for a movie that has Nick Fury in it, they don't use him because they can't. But they basically set up the Avengers like at the end of this movie. Like, going after. They've just set up all the, you know. But
well, based on what happens in the last Godzilla movie, all these monster films are going to have to take place in fairly remote locations.
Correct.
Yes. Because they were awfully surprised by the existence of Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
To
he
not
does
be
show
like,
up and they're like, oh, yeah,
35 years ago, we got attacked by a giant moth. Okay, this makes sense.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything. 70 years ago, there was a giant monkey.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything, but the head of Monarch isn't exactly able to fight for monster research anymore. So, but we'll get to that.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they fight their way through the storm, and they make it through. And like this is like, so Larry Fong, I don't think has had the opportunity to do a movie with color and with bright, brilliant color.
So he used all of it.
So he like, I feel like, you know, like that one you just get. I gotta get it out, and he put it all on the screen, and it was awesome. It was beautiful.
I just think, again,
cool.
Like I think one of the reasons I love this movie so much is one, the fun of it when they get to the fun action scenes because that's what you're looking for. But also artistically, I just think it was such a beautiful movie.
Right.
I think that Larry Fong's so talented. I'm glad to see him doing, you know, more movies outside of.
I'm
the
glad
Snyder
he got
stuff.
Away from Snyder. Yeah. And I don't and,
because
you know,
it gives him a chance to expand his horizons. Like,
absolutely.
If you're just stuck with Snyder, it means you got to wait every few years for Snyder to do something. Here he can do Godzilla, he can go to do all these other movies that or even out of the genre, you know, but he's not stuck in
the
Snyderverse.
I mean, he hasn't done a movie with this much color
This movie is Dawn of the Dead. Giant
Watchmen's plate. Dark, but it's also beautiful.
This is a giant plate.
There's not a lot of color in that movie.
No.
I know, but
this is a giant plate of nachos.
Yeah.
It's not good. And it's not good for you. But
it's yummy.
Yeah. This is a deep fried taco.
But it's
I don't know. I think it's better than that.
I do too.
It's a step up. But it is. You're just like it's just so much going on here.
Quote unquote gourmet nachos.
But I mean, simpler. It's a
ballpark nachos. Ballpark nachos. You know what? Trademark right now. Real spoiler.
And I'm like the type of guy, it's like, I wasn't wowed by Pacific Rim, you know? And it's like, I feel like this is the type of film that's made for people that loved Pacific Rim.
And I love Pacific Rim.
And, I'm the type that it's like, okay, 2014's Godzilla, where it's a little bit more Spielberg in the sense that, like, you're not always seeing the monster all the time. You're always, you know, it's a little bit more subtle. And it's like, I like the
Can't
more...
Can't do that with King Kong,
this,
though.
I mean, I agree, because I was like, I know this is supposed to be the same universe, but, and I think maybe because it's set in the 70s, we can... gloss past that, but it was definitely, you know, it doesn't have the sort of like a emotional resonance or you know, measure that guy. I think Godzilla was way better acting, way better storytelling, better, I mean, suspense and all that stuff. I still really like this movie, and I thought it was a lot of fun, but I mean, it's like, it's hard for me to be like, well, they're in the same universe.
Well, everyone's comparing
different.
It to
Godzilla.
They're
very different.
Sure.
Saying that this, like, Logan and Apocalypse are in the same universe.
Well, I think it would be like saying this.
Really?
So Godzilla is Iron Man, and this is Thor. Now, Thor was good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed Thor a lot, but it's not Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know?
But they are in, I mean, they're able to connect those to the same universe.
That's
true. It's going to be a hard connect.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to have to compare the two.
Well, the fact that they're 30 years apart, I think being 30 years apart, you're going to be able to, a lot can change. This was
70s. They had a weird color.
But I mean, this is a movie that is in the Vietnam era, and I think they made it look like that, which was really impressive. Like, it was gritty, and it felt really like that time period.
Yeah.
So I think when you get to 2014, I mean, it's a different time.
There's just such directorial differences, you know.
The ramping
of speed and stuff.
Have you seen the director of this did Kings of Summer?
Which is like just what a small art house film.
That safety not guaranteed. Jurassic World. It's the same jump, you know. But have you seen a picture of the guy recently?
No.
He looks like he would punch Kong in the face and knock him out. He has a beard that goes down, you know, a huge beard. The guy looks like he's in his 30s, but he's like buff and has a beard. It's just hilarious. I'm like, that guy should be fighting Kong.
He punched Zack Snyder and said, I'm taking your director.
He probably did beat him up in the bro fight. But
Snyder's like, all right, man. All right, it's cool.
So,
this is what you get for killing Jimmy Olsen.
So they get
through the storm, and they are saying that they're going to drop these bombs into the Earth.
This is the first
to
like,
get a seismic reading of like what the ground looks like.
Yeah, flag on the play.
Yeah,
flag.
Right.
Like, wait a minute.
You could tell that even Hiddleston was just like, I don't think that
dropping
sounds like
bombs on island.
Did
you guys not learn anything from Vietnam? Like when you guys sit over there, like that didn't go well.
Stop dropping bombs.
Yeah.
Like,
this isn't a movie that starts with World War II.
Right.
Like
right.
in Japan.
So they're flying around, they're dropping the bombs, and all of a sudden here comes a giant tree, like out of nowhere, and
being
just smashes.
I loved this scene. But
this is the best scene of the movie.
It is, and unfortunately, it was given away in the trailers.
Yeah,
I don't watch the trailers. That's why I don't watch trailers.
Yeah,
forget it.
Yeah, what is that? A giant monkey?
Yeah. Unless I'm in the theater and forced to, which I usually will look at my phone seriously to try to ignore.
Yeah.
I can't do trailers anymore.
So
they give away the
entire.
That's
why I said with Rogue One. Like I avoided all trailers for Rogue One, and then I went to go see something that we were doing for the show, and the first goddamn trailer was Rogue One.
You look down, you don't. Yeah, but Fast and Furious 8, Fast 8, whatever it's called,
The Fate of the
There's
Furious.
There's like. The official trailer is like 6 minutes long for that movie and gives away the entire plot. And then
a whole lot.
I was like,
no,
what?
I'm sorry, which gives away each action scene. Seriously.
I'm kind of glad because that way I won't have to see it.
But here you go.
My record stands.
But the other day they go, here's an extended trailer for the fate. I'm like, what?
So you're just
going to
show me the movie then?
Put in? Yeah, just the extended trailer.
It's an hour and a half extended trailer.
I was going to say, but these films now are like 2.5 hours. You know, it's
I
like,
know,
it's
but
not,
when they give you a clip from every action scene that you go to see, the whole point of these is to
I will
see
say
the,
at
know.
Least with Rogue One there were a bunch of reshoots, so like the initial teaser trailer,
yes,
nothing that I saw was in the movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, but then I saw that.
I really wish they would consider releasing, they won't, but no. I wish they would consider releasing
a darker version.
The other version of Rogue One.
It would be interesting.
Just they should not
see it.
I say they should. I think they should sit on that footage in case they need to use it later.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine what they can construct from that?
Man. Who knows?
Even 10 or 15 years from now,
they used outtakes from 77.
Yeah. Right? Like that. No, how awesome would that be?
They have 40% of
they
footage.
They may.
Who knows? Wait, we don't know what they
cut. I just want to just to compare.
Yeah,
sure.
Kathleen Kennedy has such a stronghold, and she's so controlling over what gets leaked out or the stories about.
Can you blame her though?
I mean, it's like. She's trying to keep a tight hold on this.
She's
property.
Doing very well.
She's doing a great job.
Nobody's questioning.
Spielberg,
except for Josh
Gad,
who's just constantly trying to get.
Yeah,
you know,
it's funny.
What great promotion for that?
Those are very.
That
movie. Are they in a movie together?
Yeah. So with a ton of different actors.
What are they in?
It's based on the Hercule Poirot, which is the
that means nothing.
Oh, is this
who's the author?
It's Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah.
Oh,
who's
really?
The author of
Agatha Christie?
Agatha Christie novels. She has the Hercule Poirot, and he's a
detective.
We can
spoil that one easy.
And there's 100. There's not going to, but there's hundreds of. I mean, she wrote tons of books.
Okay,
this
so
character.
They're doing Murder on the Orient.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
There's
all right.
A great 70s movie too. Is worth it.
Yeah, great.
But we'll Bradley, save that for later.
Yeah. So they, you get a giant action set piece. Yeah.
Tons of helicopters. Did they show you an overhead of how many helicopters there are?
I thought they killed everybody in the first 5 minutes.
I was trying to count the helicopters because it seems like there's way more helicopters than I counted on the deck.
I thought I saw only three helicopters, and now it's
but then there's 20.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I haven't flown a helicopter.
Oh.
If I have, I would probably have not kept going that direction.
No.
Yeah.
At that point, I turned around.
Well, okay.
What's over there?
Yeah, I was always under the impression helicopters could maneuver easily.
They clearly chose to attack that giant monster.
And it's just like nothing was working, so he's just destroying everything in his path.
The way he does it, throwing stuff at them, crushing them with his hands. I mean, it was awesome. Come to see.
From here, they put the pedal to the metal and they don't let up.
That's what I love.
They might go from 100 miles an hour to 80.
Yeah.
And then back down to 100. But there's stuff going on.
And I really like what they chose to do with the story from here, because
this is actually kind of a smart choice.
When they crash the helicopters, they're on different parts of the island. And so you get three different groups and stories to follow. And I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed because there's a lot of characters and, they are the numbers shrinking
quickly
constantly. But you get the, you get the army guys and trying to meet up with Sam Jackson. You get, the two main characters, Hiddleston and Larson.
I keep calling her Brie Olson, and that's not who that is. No.
And then Tiger Blood.
That was her
with
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. And then you get the terrible accent guy, Toby Kibble.
Ugh.
But anyway, but I like that they split it up.
Into
their own.
You don't have to deal with him for very long.
Billy.
Oh, well,
it was Billy.
Right.
No,
it was like. Yeah, there's a lot of appetizers. Like
yeah, yes,
but
there
cool.
are.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like
a smorgasbord.
Yes,
yeah. it's army men.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just watch each.
It was almost like when you those little green army men, and then you had a King Kong figure. Like this is what you would do.
Yeah,
this is Pacific Rim. I mean, great analogy there. If that's a great comparison, because
I will
it
say
is,
though. Pacific Rim left me cold. I
liked Pacific Rim
a lot.
Playing with action figures in a toy box, though. This guy.
Playing with what?
Action figures in a toy box.
Okay, I'm just checking.
This picture.
It's okay. We got to keep each other in check.
Yeah.
So
Check the tape.
Yeah.
Brolin.
So, they were hidden.
Thank God Josh Brolin wasn't in this movie.
That never gets old. So,
well, not for us.
So, this was clearly the director playing in the toy box
with
King Kong and army men, and but it's fun, and that's why I enjoyed Pacific Rim, and I enjoyed this for the same reason. It's like, what would you want to see if you directed or could choose your King Kong movie with explosions and crashing helicopters and stomping on people? And it's like
when it sticks to the original formula. I mean, the original formula has just King Kong fighting a T-Rex. I think it's an Allosaurus, and then there's a Brontosaurus sea creature type, and then there's the pterodactyl. Yeah. I mean, it's like you have that original formula, and he sticks with that, but he just churns it up to 11.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Yeah. So, oh, it
goes to 10.
It's basically they had a toy box of things. It's like, oh, can I get a giant octopus too?
Yes, you can.
Figure out where it goes.
You got it, buddy.
Like, I will.
Can I have him eat it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Whatever you want to do.
So the army men are trying to get.
Yeah. So you've got Tony Kibble on one side. Yeah. You've got our other two characters on in the other part. Then you've got all of the army guys. I feel like
they're trying to meet back up with Sam Jackson.
Yeah, they've got like four total where like Sam Jackson's kind of on his own, and then there's other group of guys. And this is the scene that Tom was talking about.
Oh, and Goodman and his guy,
guy
from 24, are split up too. So those are
there
the
was Sam Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah. This is where the guy sits down. He eats like the MRE.
Yeah. I love that.
And
part.
He's just like, what are you doing? Oh, Dan.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
And he goes,
how
can you be hungry?
Well, he goes, well, that certainly was a.
Oh, whatever he says was amazing. He goes, that sure was like an out of.
Quite an experience.
Yeah, we get a group of our guys going through the woods. And one of the guys who what you thought was a main character gets like a giant.
It looked like a bamboo shoot through his face. So this is like
through his mouth.
This is one of my favorite action sequences. And so I thought it was a bamboo shoot that someone or a monster threw. I thought it was Kong shoving it down his throat.
Yeah.
And he looks up and that is the leg
giant
of a giant spider. And by giant, I mean it is.
I'm right there with you, Dan.
That scene is really creepy.
Take too kindly to Daddy Long Legs. Spiders don't bother me, but man, those things I do not like.
So they just start hacking.
Oh my
gosh.
Just
start hacking it and trying to cut it down to size.
Again, this is what you want to see in this movie.
Its legs do resemble a tree, so they don't know what they're hacking at.
And it's just going through people and it everywhere all around you. I mean, it's an intense scene, and they're fighting it. They're shooting it in the eyes with guns.
Yeah.
You know,
until
it's
finally,
like,
finally they put it down and they kill it.
Who walks up and does it? Jackson. Who walks up and shoots it point blank with a gun?
Yeah. Kills it, and then I'm trying. Is this the one where the guy, like the kid who's always talking about his mom, gets covered in goo?
Yeah,
he's just like, whoa.
Well, covered in like the blood of his friends.
Right.
Too.
I was like, I feel like you shouldn't put that in your mouth.
I feel like might turn into a giant spider.
And then
how do you think Godzilla came to be?
That's true. That's true. So then we see everybody kind of meets back up. Tony Kibble is killed off screen. It's just like it's a typical kind of like. You don't really know what gets him. You assume.
Yeah, it's the old off-screen blood splatter.
Blood splatter, yeah.
Yeah.
So then we see...
Kind of a cool tree monster, though. He sits on a log, a huge log.
That's not what kills him, though.
No. But,
that's
the scene.
This movie is, like, these random monsters keep showing up.
Yeah, they invented, I think, a beautiful world of Skull Island and the creatures. I just think the design, and it was interesting.
You could see
it
was sort of influenced, or Guillermo del Toro, like, his influence,
for sure.
Like, with the character designs. Like I said, this, like, buffalo-type creature.
Yeah.
You know, and then this tree-type creature.
Yeah.
The giant
I really
spider.
Felt bad for the tree-type creature, don't you? Because he starts shooting it, and he's just like, hey, and walks away. Like, he's not mean.
The tree creature's like, whoa, whoa,
it was just,
whoa.
It was sad. You could see, like, the expression, seriously, in his face. Like, why are you shooting me?
I guess you could say this tree creature, that his bark was worse than his bite.
That's why we bring Tom
Thank
on.
You.
That's
wow.
why Tom
Thank
is the
you.
Host
He's
of this show, ladies and gentlemen. Well done. Well done.
You can go now, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. See ya. All right, Tom.
Yeah.
You can find Tom at On Real Spoilers, at Tom O'Keefe, at Roger Kubert.
Yeah. So he gets it, which I'm like, thank you. I just did not want to hear
it. It's a shame.
Horrible.
Like, that guy keeps showing up, though.
Yeah.
Like, in other movies.
He was in
the monster movie. He was the dad in that one of Monster Calls.
Okay. And then he was also the guy that was interrogating in Gold. He was the interrogator
for the
FBI.
Yeah. He's also in that great episode of Black Mirror.
Okay,
like,
So, he's been... And again, it's not him as an actor, but that choice...
He was Dr. Doom in the Fantastic Four.
Is that who...
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that's him.
That's
okay, because his face, he looks familiar.
Right.
That's how he killed people off screen in Dr.
It
Doom.
Is.
He splattered their head and the blood
brains.
Went off screen. And that
or
happened
in, like,
to him.
Their helmets. Yeah.
But one went on the wall. Remember, he pointed at him and
it
went on the wall.
How do your powers work?
And then he was killed and the blood splattered on the log or whatever. Like, so, bad. Hey,
karma. I don't know how you guys remember anything from that Fantastic Four movie.
So I just
remember how brutal
actually,
that Dr. Doom
I just rewatched it. Because I've been sick. And I was just like, what's on my...
You're sick. If you're wanting to watch that again.
I'm beginning to think, do you also cut?
No, I don't. No.
To reiterate, Joe just watched the Fantastic Four again.
I did.
The new one.
Honestly, why any of them?
Yeah, he admitted he's
that's
sick.
True.
There's really not a version of that sentence where
there's
I would go,
never any of
oh,
them.
I get that.
Yeah. But I've been sick. I was bagging and boarding some books, and I was like, I just need something on in the background while I put the stuff away. And I would turn around and they get to that. There's a couple scenes in that aren't You're like, oh, that's what he was trying to do. And then it was like, oh, that's what happened. Yikes. That is a train wreck of a movie.
Springs Eternal.
No, no. Yes. I wasn't watching it to be like, no, maybe this time it's going to be good.
It was
like,
it was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
I was loved it. There's so much more that you can.
Yeah, but I wasn't paying attention to anything. Yeah. I was like, I just had it on in the background.
You. But it could have been anything. Joe. It could have been Monster Squad, for God's sake.
No, you got to pay attention to Monster Squad.
Oh, okay, yeah. So anyway, but yeah. So he's dead.
So he's
you.
Dead. So now our crew has hooked back
well,
up.
Let's
with
talk. Well, let's talk about Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson and the indigenous tribe. Or
well, yeah. They're all together, aren't they?
Not yet. Oh, they meet up with them, I think.
Yeah, because we still haven't reintroduced John C.
Yeah,
Reilly.
They meet first. Just the those
John
people.
C. Reilly meets them first by themselves. I guess
the
I felt
tribe
like they were
and then
all
meets
together.
Them, yeah.
Okay,
and then he takes them.
Yeah,
to the
so kind of a creepy again visually. Like there's all these people.
No, they're all that whole crew's back together because all of our guys have guns.
Oh,
and he's like, hey, whoa, like we don't need that. And then they have a conversation where they
were they when they met the tribe.
Yeah,
I thought it was
yeah.
just the two of them.
Uh huh. Because okay. they're all of the military guys have their weapons drawn.
Oh, okay. Oh, with the okay.
Well, and John
okay.
C. Reilly's just like whoa.
Okay. Great. Okay.
And
so
this
they
is
all meet up
like,
again.
The great comic relief that is
I mean,
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly is incredible in this movie. He is. I mean, his humor goes a long way.
Yeah.
It's not like too much. It's like I think there's
it's
a,
just enough.
There's a few movies yeah. where the comedic. The comedy is played up too much and the uh-huh. character gets a little obnoxious. Not John C. Reilly. He was one of the best parts of this movie. But when they're introduced, it's really cool. Before you even see him, they're all, you know, going through the woods and they come to this, like, looks like an Aztec type setting and there's writing on the walls and this. And come to find out, there's a bunch of the indigenous tribal people there are painted and they're blending in.
They're blending
in,
yeah.
And they
they're camouflaged.
They walk out with spears and, you know, all these weapons pointed at them. And then that's when, like, our guys draw their weapons and then all of a sudden, John
Here
C. Reilly
John
pops
C.
out.
This is another scene from the trailer where, like, he jumps out from,
yeah.
But he's like, "Hey, what? That's all right. Like, it's not. We don't have to do all that.
That's great."
And he explains. He gives us kind of our backstory again, where he was stuck on the island with his buddy, and his buddy has now passed away.
Yeah, he became friends with the guy because, again, like when you're fighting 120 foot
right,
tall,
right.
Yeah, he takes him into the exposition tipple. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
And if you look over here, I can tell you a little bit more about what happened.
But I can tell you about Kong.
But I love how they do it though too. Don't touch anything here. This place is sacred. So if you want to come out alive, or whatever,
right.
Not to touch. It's just cool the way he.
But this is where they say that he's not done growing. Like like John C. Reilly says, he's like, oh, he's not even done growing yet. And I was like, of course
he's
not.
And the people of the island have painted all these different monsters. And if you look at the rocks.
This is where they say that Kong is the king here. And he keeps everything in check.
He said Kong's not the one you have to worry about.
Yeah.
He's king of the island.
Great. Like,
but when you come dropping bombs, that's.
Then you wake and you come dropping bombs in somebody's backyard. You come picking a fight.
And this is where he tells us about the skull.
The skull suckers or whatever.
Skull crawlers.
He's like. Yeah, that name sounded better in my head. I've never actually said that out loud. That's
that was
that
funny.
Sounds,
and then he's like,
really
he's like,
dumb.
We don't have to call him that. Like they're back
you
and forth.
Call him
and then
you
I
want.
Loved it. Like Tom Hiddleston, no, it's fine. Like it was good. There had to be some improvising there. That just seems
maybe.
So good.
Yeah, I don't.
It just makes you wonder, like, how big is he actually going to be? I mean, because
did they say how big that Godzilla was? Did they say how big he was?
Godzilla's massive.
Yeah.
I think about, like, okay, like in Cloverfield, like some of like the ridiculous scenes where like the Cloverfield monster like sneaks up on you and it's like you don't hear it coming. Like the same thing with
here.
Did you
see
it's,
the
like,
Cloverfield monster?
The
first
Cloverfield.
Like
you never heard it and all of a sudden he's there. It's the same thing. It's like all of a sudden King Kong is like right in front of Brie Larson and it's like, wait, you didn't hear him coming?
I mean,
like you would hear that like a mile away.
Come on, how sneaky was the Tyrannosaurus Rex in Jurassic Park?
I mean, he was pretty sneaky.
He got indoors and he creeped up on them. He's a T-Rex. You heard him rattling bushes and like stomping around in the rain, but yet in the instance, so I mean, it's a movie. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I get it, but.
So anyway, yeah, they have, you know, Kong is he's the king of this island and he keeps kind of the other monsters in check and he, you know, nobody kind of wants to mess with him because he's so tough.
But one of the monsters he hates the most are these skull crawlers.
These
and they
skull
live
crawlers.
Underground.
And he says that like they won't come up because he knows like they've already killed his family. He's,
well,
the, he's,
they don't,
he's the last.
They live underground and there's no connection. But when you drop bombs and open up the sub.
Correct.
You know.
And they've also killed his family. So he's the only one left.
Yeah. The graveyard with the two
big old
Kong
monkey skeletons.
Skeletons. Yeah.
And that was, you know, that scene was crazy.
That's cool.
So I'm trying to think. So we get from there to the, oh, they have to get to this point on the island. And the only way they can get, like, they have to get to this north point, which is the extraction point.
For in them 3 days.
In 3 days.
And John C. Reilly again is great. Just laughing at him like,
never happen. Days,
no.
So they figure out that they can use this boat. And they can go down, you know, get where they need to go.
Montage.
Yeah, them fixing the boat and doing whatever.
Yeah. I liked all the moments where he talked about his friend and how he's like, you know, we built this for...
We built this city.
Yeah. No. Why? Never.
No. He you know, they built that for, you know, 5 years of their lives or whatever.
And they couldn't get it to work.
And he said he wasn't going to leave his friend, but then, you know, he, like, says goodbye, takes the sword. It was a good little moment. I
do like where they're just like, how long have you been here?
Little nod, Papillon.
Yeah. Right.
Sam Jackson, I think, says that... Or he says, you've been here since World War II.
And he's just telling, like, everything that has changed.
Yeah.
And I do like that he's
the
like,
Cubs.
Have the Cubs won a World Series yet? And he was just like, no.
Which obviously now, I mean, it's really a very relevant joke.
Right.
But like,
I think that's why that was in there.
Oh, yeah. They picked the Cubs for that reason. Right. But yeah, it's just now he's like, I want a hot dog and a beer. You know, there's nothing
better than a hot dog and a beer.
He said, you're prettier than a Brie Larson. You're prettier than a, because he hasn't seen a,
woman.
Well, I guess an American woman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I'm trying, there's the scene where Kong is, oh, this is the scene with the kid, the kid that you don't like, where Kong is kind of addressing his wounds from the helicopter battle, and he gets attacked by the giant octopus.
That's cool.
That was a cool looking scene where like he just
Kong is going in to get water, and he scoops a huge handful of this water, and then all of a sudden he sees something moving in the water, and the octopus just grabs him, and Kong tears him apart,
and starts eating
the tentacles.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That lake was a little
away.
Bit deeper than I think we thought.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Kong's like, pretty tall.
Yeah, I was like, oh, and that was like coming up to like his knees.
Yeah.
So yeah,
and then he slurps up the tentacles like spaghetti. I mean, and he carries it with him,
just drags it along.
Another moment that it's a serious, like, it's a cool action scene, but it's funny just by the physical humor of him carrying around the thing and dragging
squid.
Yeah,
it's very 20,000
I thought
the
water was going to have healing properties. I thought that's where they were going.
Oh, interesting. Because
he was right after he had gotten
the wound
pretty bad, and I thought it was going to be like, oh, there's some sort of fountain of youth or
inside
something.
The water.
Well, you're just being silly. Then.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
makes no sense. Is this realistic universe? Kind of.
Yeah, so they're making their way...
downtown?
Down the river, and I'm trying to think, how do we get to the... Because the whole set piece in the graveyard...
They have to go through it because they want to rescue the guy that we find out is dying.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So Sam Jackson is like,
we are not leaving a man behind.
That's right. That's right.
And he says the fastest way to get through there is through this graveyard. And John C. Reilly says, you don't go there. That's the graveyard of
Kong's
parents.
He's like, oh, this is great. You guys are all really cool. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
You guys are good guys to die with.
Again, best part of the movie.
Yeah.
But so he's like, you don't go there. And then they're like, nope, we're going through. And then, you know, he even calls it out. He's like, yeah, don't trust the guy that's been on the island for 30 years.
Yeah, right, you know? Right.
But they go through there, and then all of a sudden, this is where the skull crushers, we see them.
The small ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the big ones haven't shown up
yet. But this is when...
They find his skull, and Tom Hiddleston finds the skull of that character, and he takes the dog tags.
Yeah.
And Kong fights them all off, I think. Doesn't he?
Well, Tom Hiddleston does some ninja moves.
Yeah, that sounds
throw me
right.
the sword,
and he puts on the gas mask.
Yeah, puts on the gas mask.
Right, right, right.
We were in a different universe for that. I mean, again, I think it's cool because it's just the type of action that you expect.
Right.
But there was nothing else in the movie that looked like that.
No,
so I did feel like I was teleported to a different dimension when I was.
It's like here's like a whole bunch of like retros, like you know, 70s type nods. But then, okay, let's throw in this video game sequence.
Right,
that's like
first
like a modern movie,
ramping the speed. Yeah. Kitchen sink flies by.
Yeah. What was there's another scene that clearly like a side, I don't want to say like Daredevil or Old Boy, but you know, like a sideways scene. There's him fighting through, maybe it's Old Boy I'm thinking of, fighting through a sideways
shot. Well, I mean, in 300 they
did 300 totally 300
I was like,
yep, the visual of him, Leonidas,
it's
going,
the same,
yep,
it's the same shot.
That's the one. Yeah.
Maybe Larry Fong
is
not
a giant.
And it's, well, that he was the cinematographer
guy,
on that. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a giant collection. This is like when you get to where somebody piled all the jalapenos in one spot on the nachos, and you're like, oh, there they are.
I hate half my chips already. Yeah. But
I guess this is Jalapeno Island.
Yeah.
My butthole's going to hate me later, but I'm going to eat them all right now.
So, yeah, he tears through. He gets the kid with the gas grenades or whatever have been.
This is the part where I was like, why do you take the mask off?
So you could see Tom Hiddleston's beautiful
face.
That's
so cool.
It is so cool.
his hair flips in the wind.
Does. So he picks up that guy, and then Nick Fury is like, "We're not going back," and like because they're
we're
like,
not leaving until we gotta get him. And he was just
and
like,
he holds up the dog tags.
Yeah. Well, this is where like we gotta kill him. And he was like, "Look, he's I think the line is we've already got the ones that killed him." He's like, "Not the one that killed these," and he has all of the dog tags that Kong killed.
So basically, there's this
for some reason Kong doesn't digest dog tags. He can digest the rest of the human body, but he just spits those things out.
He's like, "Oh, they're gross."
Well, picks them out of his teeth. They're like
it's like he's got an allergy to dog tags.
Pass through.
Yeah, that hurts. Yeah.
I don't like cilantro. Oh,
There's a deleted scene you don't want to see of Sam Jackson just digging through
monkey poop.
Mounds of
where are all the mounds
where
there should be huge mountains of
where's Kong's huge penis
there is
huge. A scene where he like they it's a full it's frontal a full shot. Shot and I was like
and there's no penis
there's no wiener
I mean I just
he's doing a Buffalo Bill
I just thought it was weird because these movies like they're more set in the real world. I know this is a huge monster movie, but like they're a little more grounded and you have this huge animal that is really good CG, it looks great, and then is he not anatomically correct? Like, does
what
he
was the song
to go to the bathroom?
The
like,
the
how
wild
does
horses?
Yeah,
I don't. It just seemed weird. Like, he has to go to the bathroom. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not saying
it,
that. Like,
they did it for Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, this is a Schlong.
Schlong Island.
Schlong Island.
But anyway, I just thought it was weird that it's like okay.
So they're getting closer, and Sam Jackson has just gone. At this point, he's off the rails. Yeah,
he has nothing else to live for, and they killed his family. The army is his family, and so he wants revenge, and he wants nothing more than to kill Kong, even though
he's gone full Morgan Freeman and Dreamcatcher.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think I ever saw that.
What has happened to your character?
Is that what the poop things?
Yes.
Who directed that?
Frank Darabont.
Oh, Kasdan?
I think Kasdan.
Darabont did The Mist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
it was Kasdan.
But yeah, he's gone full. Like you're just like, well,
he's crazy. All right,
he is Captain Ahab.
Yeah,
it's Moby Dick.
It's
Moby Dick. He will not stop until he kills the whale.
Yeah,
and that's exactly
Chris
what this
Hemsworth and that weird.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Nobody saw that. It's fine.
But so that's what it kept reminding me of.
Did you really?
I did.
It was bad, actually. Right?
It was a snooze fest.
I saw that trailer and instantly thought that is the most boring looking movie I could.
I think Moby Dick's a good story, but.
Well, what is that? That's like the story of the story that
it's supposed to be the true story that the novel was based on, but it's not true at all.
And it's all told through like an Instagram filter. Like the whole thing like has this weird like bluish reddish haze.
Yeah,
and it's
just such a
so that's why we create novels based on true stories. We don't want to know the true story. We want the awesome story.
This is actually the true story of Kong is what this is. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this was a documentary.
This is a diary. Yeah. Right. Sorry. Correct.
So,
I'm trying to think, because Kong ends up having to fight.
Well, they go separate ways. So they're like,
oh, that's right.
Anyone that wants to get off this island, I'll take
these
civilians. And the army guys, you can go your way. There's lots of Mexican standoffs.
Right. And we'll meet back up here later.
And yeah, if you guys want to get to the island to leave, fine. And good luck.
Do whatever you got
to
do.
And so they try to go and they round up all. Oh, they still go to the guy's helicopter that died. Because he has charges,
he's got all the artillery. We should say that also the guy in charge of Monarch gets torn apart by a group
of scientists or John Goodman. Oh, the scientist.
He gets torn like he gets lifted into
the
air.
He's a scientist, but I think John Goodman's kind of the head.
Okay,
of
so John Goodman also dies.
And he gets that
he
was
also
another
gets
one
stepped
where
on.
Whenever a main character gets just doesn't he eat him or
no? I think he steps on him.
Does he? Okay, I thought he. Picked him up or whatever, but
he got picked up.
Yeah, he got
did
picked
he?
Up.
Oh yeah, one of the one
see
of
him
the
die.
Skull crawlers like chomped
yeah, the,
on
the
him.
Skull crawler took him
oh,
in his mouth and picked him
you're
up.
Right,
and,
you're right.
Yeah, because then his flash kept going off.
Yeah, that was the only way you could figure out where
that was
were.
Another intense scene too. With
I mean,
that,
you just hear it going on. When I was like, that one, that's nothing. Like the thing would have been destroyed. The camera would have been destroyed.
Yeah, the acids of the stomach have no effect on a camera from the 1970s.
Things were just better back then.
They're built better.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you talking about the acids of the stomach from giant dinosaur lizard monsters?
Yes.
I'm glad you know so much about their anatomy.
So, I think we know how the stomach works.
They notoriously have non-acidic stomach acid.
So they go their separate ways, and they end up, they get on the boat they sell off. They have a conscience. Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson, they decide that they cannot let Sam Jackson and his crew go kill Kong.
Right.
Because Kong is the only one stopping these monsters. He's a good guy.
It's going to disrupt the ecosystem.
It will, yeah.
It will, yeah.
Because then these things will take over.
Of course, he's the only one left. So at some point...
Yeah. It's going to disrupt at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he will... I don't know how he would reproduce, but... Yeah.
Well, even if there was, he doesn't have a...
That's the bigger issue here. Yeah. Is what we're all coming literally back to. How is Kong going to reproduce?
Yeah, it's a big plot point.
Yeah, a small problem, but a big problem.
Big problem.
So they go off to save them. So they're on the boat, and they're like, "If we're not back by morning, by dawn, whatever,
go."
Sorry, I
go.
And they should say, "But go without us."
Yeah, and they should all say, "Man, we won't."
Yeah, of course we won't.
So they go off to try to stop them, and there's another standoff when they finally get to the guys. But at this point, they have
set
all these charges
out.
That's right, the napalm.
Yeah, they set him on fire.
They set
that's
the
right.
Whole pool.
They set him up. Like they lure Kong. Like
with the charges.
With the charges, and like Kong shows up, and this is that scene where he like, you can see his face come up over the like over the horizon, and then like Sam Jackson's in front of him. There was a poster.
Off.
They have a literal face off, and then no more drugs for that guy. That's the line from Face Off.
I was gonna say, a literal face off. Did Sam Jackson and Kong switch faces?
They did, yeah.
Sam Jackson they blew up. Oh, because it's not the body, it's the face
that really
fooled me.
Yeah, yeah.
They're giving each other the stink eye, and I thought it was funny because I was like, well, I'm pretty sure Kong can't really see his face.
He's gone cross eyed because he can't
look at him.
Extreme close up.
He's pulling his bifocals up.
Yeah, he's like, oh,
there you are.
Let me take my readers off here. He needs his readers to go close up.
You are indeed a jerk, sir.
Yes. So they light him up.
There's napalm like all over the water, and they set the water on fire. And Kong. Like, there's a cool scene where Kong is coming through the fire and just doesn't give a and then he ends up collapsing.
Before he kills him, like, they planted charges all around the body.
Right.
And then Tom Hiddleston comes up and gets Nick Fury at gunpoint.
Right.
And then all the soldiers have a change of heart.
The one kid with the heart of gold kind of turns first.
Yeah.
And all the other ones are like, yeah,
put your gun down, sir.
Okie dokie.
See, and I'm glad that Nick Fury doesn't make it out of this, because what I was thinking was, for being
he can't make it out.
Like, I'm saying, like, he drew his gun on like the head of the army. Like, I don't, like, you're gonna pay
there
for that
is,
later.
I will say, there's a bunch of stories from Vietnam of guys turning on.
Oh yeah,
fracking.
Yeah. Where like they would do things
Fracking is why the water was on fire in the previous scene.
Fragging.
Is.
But yeah, like there's all kinds of stories where like sergeants and lieutenants may have gone a little crazy over in Vietnam.
Okay.
And they would just take them out and be like, whoops.
Somebody, they got killed by a gorilla.
Yeah. But anyway, so they kind of turn, and that's fine. But then he's like, all right, well, if you're not with me on this, I'm doing it by myself, but I'm going to blow us all up with.
Right.
And this is when the Deep Blue Sea clock kicked in for me. I was like, oh, good, we're at Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, perfect.
Clock is going. African Queen when they were taking the boat up the river.
Yes. But luckily,
it was like, here we go.
But luckily, Brie Larson goes up to Kong and lifts him up and pushes him out of the way from the charges.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You know, she just lifts
him. Get out.
She's so strong.
I guess we should say that scene that Mike was talking about is there was like one of the buffaloes was stuck under a helicopter.
The fact that she tried to move, that was one of the dumbest things
I was like, she's Captain Marvel. It's a shared universe.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, but the fact that she even tried, like, come on. You can't move a helicopter.
It's almost like when a mom gets, your adrenaline goes crazy and you like the stories of them like ripping off doors. Yeah. It was like, it's not like a bookcase.
Yeah. But
like,
what
it was a helicopter. It was like, well, this is where he's going to pick it up and look at her.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Like, of course.
This is one of a few scenes interactions that Brie Larson and Kong share, and he lifts up the helicopter, and at this point, you know, he's killed everybody he meets, but this is the first person that he just lifts up the helicopter, helps the animal, and then he walks away.
Gives her a thumbs up. I guess a non-opposable thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously sort of a nod to like the original.
Yeah,
you know, because I mean, if you think about, you had the Frankenstein monster, which came out before King Kong, you know, and you felt sympathy for
him. What year was Frankenstein was what?
Frankenstein, I think, was 31.
And then Kong
King
was
Kong was 33.
30. Okay.
So it's like this King Kong was like one of the first man-made sort of fake creatures that you felt sympathy for. Mm-hmm. You
sure.
know, and so
yeah,
they've sort of carried that over
yeah.
into Peter Jackson's version, and then you also have it here now a little bit.
Yeah. I think like when he gets burnt up, like you realize Kong is a good person, and the only reason he's killing people is because they're bombing
a person.
Person. I mean,
yeah. He's a monkey.
Ape.
Sorry.
Does
ape?
He have a tail?
Yeah, sorry.
But we realize, you know, the only reason he's killing people is because they're blowing his island up and,
well, right,
and he's
yeah.
screwing things up. But we realize that John C. Reilly tells us he's the king, he's the protector. And so when he gets like blown up by napalm and everything, you do feel bad for him.
Right.
It's like he's not doing anything wrong. And
no,
Sam Jackson's the villain, clearly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, but yeah.
They kill everybody.
But he ends up getting up. Somehow Kong survives that.
Of course, he's Kong.
Brie Larson lifts him up on her shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to get up so I can lock you over.
Right. Can you, like, I need a little help here, yeah. Kong. Like, this is, I'm only one person.
Help me, Kong.
Help me, Kong. You're my only hope.
That's exactly
that's,
the
that's
line.
That's kind of where it ends. Like, they...
It
like
does?
The, well, I mean, after the credit. Oh. But I mean, like, your main movie, that's it.
They get
like,
to the boat.
They get to the boat, but
the
then
the choppers
they,
come in.
Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper.
The choppers come in.
Take my
Kong walks around the corner. He doesn't seem all too pleased to see
he
more choppers.
He does
well,
not.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Remember like, what happened earlier with choppers?
Yeah.
I go, are you really going to fly choppers anywhere near him?
Yeah.
And why doesn't he attack those choppers? He doesn't
know
the difference.
Maybe he's too beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I was just like, get those choppers.
Yeah, stay off the...
Just... Land.
Out of his yeah. out of his hey, reach go.
But they do show him one more time because I thought they just he was kind of done after the napalm and he walks away, but at the end, like as they're leaving, he's like rah
does
the
he
chest
does the
beat.
Chest
yeah,
beat.
Yeah,
which fights, is yeah he fights the biggie and you know
oh, and he does fight the
tears its innards out
correct
that,
which was a cool
that
was a fun
while,
scene
while not squishing her in his hand
correct
yeah not, again a great action scene yeah he has Brie Larson in a hand so he's one handed he has yeah. a propeller from a boat chained
which
to his
was
fist
just, okay.
and he's
that was the most ridiculous
bath.
Right.
But it's supposed to be. Yeah.
It is. No, I'm not disagreeing.
This is like, King Kong
this
punching
is scary
dinosaurs.
Because this means he's learning to use
right,
tools.
That's yeah, correct.
He's evolving.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be a problem.
Yeah. When he swings that, when he swings
media.
That piece of tree like an actual baseball bat.
He yeah. takes a tree
like, oh,
and
no.
he
yeah.
this cleans it up and makes a weapon.
A legit
they're borrowing from
bat.
2001 now.
Yeah. They're learning.
But that was a fun fight. And again, that is why you're at this movie.
Sure.
And I thought that was cool.
Oh, and yeah. that's you know, we get the credits, and then we will say there is a post-credit sequence where Brie Larson,
they, which
and
they spoil,
they do spoil
because you watch the credits.
It's this
like,
whole Hollow
like,
Earth
bang.
Theory, you know, which
they had alluded to this Hollow Earth theory before,
yeah.
And now they're like, it's legit, it's totally real. And Brie Larson,
which is
and Tom Hiddleston,
what,
are sitting.
But I believe they're called caves, but okay, yeah. I mean, we don't have to make it a theory. It's just like, aren't those called caves?
Right. And they say that you know there's other stuff down there and.
They
caves.
Show all the
but
monsters.
They show all of them, but they say he's. We don't think Kong is the king, and
yeah.
then there's like a silhouette of Godzilla.
Basically Godzilla,
and then you hear the T-Rex scream from Jurassic Park, because that's the noise.
And see more credits,
Mothra.
And Rodan.
I'm like, oh, T-Rex is in here.
Yeah, they're,
shared
all, they're all like cave drawings or cave
paintings.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And then that's, so we're going to lead into 2019, I think we get.
And they tell them that they now work for Monarch.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
right,
you got
right,
a job
right, right.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one guy apparently got a promotion. So,
yeah. Correct,
well, actually,
yeah.
the two Monarch employees seem to have moved up the ranks.
Right.
Yeah. Climb the corporate ladder.
well, when everyone above you on the ladder
gonna,
is dead. Yeah.
Yeah. John Goodman gonna... kind of fell off the ladder. So.
I guess 2019 is we get the Godzilla sequel, and then 2020 is when we get Godzilla versus King
Interesting.
Kong.
Interesting. You're going to do a sequel first instead of...
Well, I think they're going to introduce these other monsters. You're
yeah,
going to see Mothra.
Because it's going
to... You're going to see...
I think it's called
other...
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
You know what? Because they're going to end up having to team up to go against all those other monsters. That's
well,
exactly
I think
what's
Godzilla,
gonna...
Because both of
know.
Their moms are named Martha.
Martha!
Yes!
This is WB. I mean...
I would not put it past them.
That's true. That's true.
Except you just hear like...
and the guy's like, why did you...
and the other why'd you just say
rah? Why'd you say rah?
Why did you... I like that just in plain... Why did you say rah?
And then he has to rescue Rod. He says, I'm a friend of Rod.
And she's like, I know.
No, so, he talks to Rod, says, I'm a friend of Godzilla's.
Yeah. She's like, I figured.
I kind of figured because,
because you're a monster.
He has so many other friends that look like you.
So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah.
So, there should be a whole host of options.
Yeah. To think of the one that I thought was most appropriate, there's a 1966 film that was eventually released in 1970, stars Russ Tamblyn. It's called The War of the Gargantuas. And it is a Toho film, and it's about these. I mean, the opening scene is a giant octopus starts to attack a small, fishing boat, and then this giant beast, hairy beast thing comes out, and they fight. I'm like, well, that's directly from War of the Gargantuas. This movie is basically, now they don't get into it in the Americanized version, but in the original Japanese version, there's giant creatures that are grown from the cells of Frankenstein's monster. They don't get into that.
They don't have the rights.
They don't get into that in this one. But in the American version, there's a scientist and his team, and they had worked with a creature that was called the Gargantua, but it was very docile and like moved up lived in the mountains. And this other creature seems to keep attacking. And this is basically this giant monster that it keeps attacking, the coast of Japan. And it's funny because, I remember seeing this in 1970 and being terrified, probably because I was three. and terrified, and I also thought it was much better then. But there's a scene where this monster picks up and actually eats a woman, and then spits out the clothes. And I remember so vividly, like watching this movie and being like, oh, and he turns around, he's like, ah, rah, rah, puh. And I was like, oh my god,
that's the monster equivalent of tying a knot at cherry stem.
Yes, yes.
But the clothes were folded.
Well, yeah, they were neatly pressed.
Yeah.
Eventually the original monster comes down, and it turns out these are two are siblings, and the one is evil and one is good, and it is basically battle.
Nice.
And it's ridiculous. It's over the top. It's one of those. It's a little bit darker, I guess, for the Toho films. I think it's probably because it came out in the 60s,
right,
and 70s. I can't necessarily say it's a great film, but it is kind of a lot of fun to watch. It's also one that ends and does not give you any hope of a sequel, unlike many of the like Godzilla and the best thing really in this movie is to watch American actor Russ Tamblyn, who at that point had also been in West Side Story.
Okay.
To watch him.
How do you solve a problem like Godzilla?
Exactly. And the funny thing is that it's all overdone.
Damn it.
It's all ADR'd.
No, my musicals.
And
I do too. I don't know why I messed that up.
Yeah, you were totally off on that. It's all ADR'd, and he's doing his voice, but you can tell it's like, was he contractually obligated to be in this movie? Because he is the most lax, uninterested kid.
Yeah.
He's just like, well, I don't think that's our Gargantua. Ours is different. And it's just like, that thing just ate like a city full of people. If you get a chance and you want to see an old timey monster movie, this is the one to check out.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, of course.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Michael. You can find me also on Twitter at MPHaffner. That's HAFFNER.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and at ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers, on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or on just the regular old internet at RealSpoilers.com or DirtyPirateHookers.com. So next time, I guess next week, will be Beauty and the Beast. Right?
I think, are we doing,
do you get my weeks mixed up?
Well,
two separate episodes?
What about that awesome dog film that you guys are talking about?
Well, we know next week for sure at least one of the movies will be Beauty and the Beast. So, so coming up on an episode at some point, we'll tackle Beauty and the Beast. So that's it for this episode. And until next time, fittingly enough, it was Beauty that killed the Beast. Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.